Reading Psalm 23, which is so familiar to us, but so precious. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Well, we come to the end of October, and we've been looking at the discipline of solitude together. This morning we're going to have a testimony service, but a little bit different, and I've brought very short video testimonies from three people who have a ministry around solitude and relationship with God. They're all well-known speakers and authors on this subject, and I thought it would be good to hear from them about their journey and to understand why solitude is so important to us in our Christian journey with God. The last of the three speakers used a phrase that really stuck with me. He said, in solitude, in one-to-one time with God, we move from the transactional Christian life into the relational Christian life with the Lord. We've just heard Psalm 23. Thank you, Lisa. Psalm 23 is a deeply relational psalm. It's all about us holding on to God. It talks about still waters and quiet pastures. It talks about finding comfort in the presence of the Lord. It talks about the reassurance of his plan. And I was reflecting on this during the week of how much of my focus on God is transactional rather than relational. Coming up this week, I think we have an elders meeting. I'm leading here today. I'm involved with organising the activities for the weekend away. We've got a meeting on Tuesday night about the village carol service. There's lots of transactional things that I'm doing and that many of you do more than me. But how much time am I spending one-to-one with Jesus? Really? The true answer for me is not enough. Not enough by a long way. And I can feel it in my life. I can feel it in my spiritual reserves. I can feel it in the love, compassion, grace and energy that I have to share with other people. Sometimes I feel like I'm running dry. And other times God in his great mercy creates space for me to come and kneel at his feet and to be restored and refilled. I have every excuse under the sun. I lead a very busy life. I have just moved house. I wanted to bring a book today to show you from one of the people, but I can't find it. It's in a packing box somewhere. So I'll bring it at another occasion. But that's all they are, really, is excuses. Because if my life is wholeheartedly 100% for Jesus, then why would I not want to be talking with him and listening to him? Surely, time when I am one-to-one with him would be the most precious thing I can do with my time. I feel like I'm missing out. And that's been a learning point for me from this month. We're going to watch a video clip in just a second by a lady called Ruth Haley Barton. Has anybody heard of her? Okay, well, good news, you found somebody's books to read, which are excellent. She's actually written a book called Invitation to Solitude and Silence. She's written a book called Invitation to Retreat, and her latest book is called Sacred Rhythms, about living a life in tune and in rhythm with God. She's a very wise woman. So we're going to hear from Ruth Haley Barton about her experience of needing to have time in solitude with God. Hannah, could you press a button for us, please?
Thank you. I was still aware of places where I was stuck, places where I was still basically selfish, places where I was driven by performance and wobbly in terms of my own identity. There was unrest at the core of my being, and I had walked with God for a long time. And so someone who saw what I was going through suggested a spiritual director, and that spiritual director said to me one day in our times together, she said, "Ruth, you're like a jar of river water, all shaken up, and what you need is to sit still long enough so the sediment can settle and the water can become clear." And that moment was as significant as anything else that's ever happened in my spiritual life. For me, it all began with solitude and silence, because I had been functioning in such a busy way, even in my Christian life. I am a pastor's kid, and so I had learned the traditional quiet time. I'd listened to preaching all my life. I'd been involved in all the small group models you could think of. I was all riled up on the inside, and that peace that passes understanding was elusive to me. I didn't know what it would be like to have that kind of peace as a characteristic of my soul. And so I was very compelled and called by that invitation and the idea that my soul could become like the place where the jar of river water had sat still long enough. I wanted it more than anything. I wanted the intimacy with God that I felt certain could come beyond all words, that there was a kind of communion and intimacy for me and God that I was not yet experiencing. And it came, and it has come, and it continues to come through the practice of solitude and silence.
Ruth talks there about a jar of river water. This isn't river water, this is water with some soil from my garden, from the lovely plant you gave me actually 2 weeks ago, which was the nearest soil to hand. But she's right, isn't it? We live, and we're shaken up. We're shaken up all the time. And one thing I noticed, that when I turn this upside down, and I put it, it's got a really good seal on it, by the way, when I turn it right back up again, the water's actually swirling as well. It's not only is it dirty and full of bits and muck, but it's also swirling round and round, so it's quite hard to find a still point. I'm going to leave it there, and we're going to see what happens as that settles as we go along today. If you get bored of what I'm saying, you can look at the jar of water. There are big bits in there, and there are small bits in there. It's a bit like life, isn't it? There are some things we just have to do that take a lot of time and effort and concentration. And then there are all those small niggly things that if we really didn't have to do, we wouldn't want to do. A lady came to me at work this week, and she said to me, "Rachel, I've been thinking that perhaps next time we buy monitor arms, we might buy them with a greater degree of flexibility." I said, "Okay, what sort of flexibility do we have in our monitor arms at the moment?" And she said, "Well, at the moment, we have 180 degree flexibility on the one she showed me," which took time. And she said, "I think we should look for those that have got an extra, maybe 90 degrees of flexibility in the monitoring arm." How interested was I? Not at all, let's be really honest. But this lady had come to me with a problem, and I need to sort it. And it took me about half an hour to sort it and pass it on to somebody else, actually, in reality, to deal with. But I felt quite bummed. I thought, I don't have half an hour to waste on this. I should have been thinking, what a joy to help a colleague in need. Big bits and small bits, and sometimes it's the small bits that give us the problem. The constant movement is a problem for me as well. I don't know how you find it. Sometimes I just wish things would just stop and just stay still for a little while so I could get a handle on it all. And I feel if I could stop and get a handle, then I'd be all right. I could do a plan, I could do a schedule, and we could move on. But it just keeps moving. Psalm 37 in verse 7 says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." I'm really not very good at it. Pam Scott Cook talked a couple of weeks ago about soul care. Surely time alone with the Lord. Time to just stop and rest and relax and be in his presence must be part of how we care for our souls. Because of course, if we aren't in a good place, we can't look after other people very well. If we don't have any grace or compassion or real sense of love and any patience at any given time, it's very hard to be the person we would want to be, the person Jesus calls us to be, with other people, because we're relying on the bits of reserves that we've got left. If I'm not spending time with the Lord, if I'm not quiet, if I'm not listening to him, if I'm not letting him speak to me in what's described in the Bible as a still small voice, the danger is that I just keep running on my own strength till one day I fall over. I'm really keen not to fall over. Our second video is from a gentleman called Jay Pathak. He's a leader in the Vineyard Church, and he focuses on relationships. In fact, he has a great book called The Art of Neighbouring, How to Show Genuine Love for Your Neighbours. And he talks about how if we don't have that still, quiet time with God, how on earth do we have anything to bring into our Christian service and our Christian life? So we're just going to listen. This is a very short 1 minute video from Jay about his experience of solitude.
Well, for me personally, I have to practice solitude. Solitude and silence. Because there's nothing in my natural being that would run me towards being quiet and aware of myself and no one else. And so when I am silent and practice solitude, I become aware, first and foremost, of the frenetic intensity of my own life, the insecurities and the pains and the worries and the emotions that I'm working really hard to sublimate are suddenly present in a way that I have to deal with them. And then if I can move through those walls and barriers, I'm very aware of the presence and the voice of God. God generally doesn't speak to me in loud booming cracks and lightning bolts, but in whispers that speak to the fears and doubts and the worries of my soul, and He refuses to shout over the noise.
That last statement really struck me. God refuses to shout over the noise. Because you can go to Him. You can go to Him. He's right there. He has things to say to you. He has things for you. But He's not going to shout at you over the noise of the life you've created. Henry Nguyen, who many of you will have heard of and read, says this. He wrote a book called Reaching Out. And he said this, which I thought was beautiful. To live a spiritual life, we must first find the courage to enter into the desert of our own loneliness and to change it by gentle and persistent efforts into a garden of solitude. The movement from loneliness to solitude, however, is the beginning of any spiritual life because it is the movement from the restless senses to the restful spirit. From the outward reaching cravings to the inward reaching search. From the fearful clinging to the fearless play. I like that phrase, from the restless senses into restful spirit. Psalm 62 verse 5 says, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is found in Him." That we're not going to hear from God when it's so noisy that we can't even hear ourselves think. That we're not going to hear from God if we are so busy looking outwards, experiencing with our other senses, that we never stop and just sit and say, "Lord, I so want to be with You. I so want to hear from You. I so want to just spend time reminding myself of how much I love You and how much You love me." We can't do that with the TV on and the music blaring and the children running around and the work phone on. I sat at home this week with my laptop open. My study I can't get into yet because so many boxes. So I've sat in the dining room and I've got my laptop open. And next to it, I've got my iPad open. And next to that, I've got my phone open. And then an alarm went on one of them. And I'm like, "Oh my goodness, which one of these things is making a noise that I need to attend to?" And then someone called on my laptop. And then it was time to start a Teams meeting on my laptop. And I just thought, this is too much. I can't deal with this. And I can guarantee that in that process, with the iPad and the Teams meeting about to start and the phone going and my phone making a beeping noise and something happening on the iPad, there was no space in there for me to hear from God. It was only when I was quiet afterwards I thought, it's maybe my life getting a little bit too noisy and busy. The third video we're going to watch this morning is Pete Scazzaro. He's a minister of New Life Church in New York. Maybe more importantly, he's the author of a whole series of books that are basically called The Emotionally Healthy Christian. So he's written about emotionally healthy Bible study, emotionally healthy listening, emotionally healthy relationships, emotionally healthy leadership. Whole series, it's easy to find them because they all start with the emotional healthy something. But he talks about the fact that unless we get to grips with this, unless we really start to understand that solitude cannot be optional, then we're going to struggle. We're going to fall, we're going to fail. We're going to find ourselves in a situation where we are doing things on the surface that might look really good, but actually deep down, there's nothing. You know, the Bible talks, doesn't it, about what are we going to have in the end times? What are we going to have? Are we going to have hay or straw? Is that what our endeavours are going to be worth? Or have we created things made of silver and gold that we'll be able to offer to the king? So let's hear from Pete, and then we're going to come back and we're going to think again about Psalm 23.
So the question's often asked, how do I make time for silence and solitude in my work day? With great difficulty, of course. There's nothing in our culture that encourages it. You're not living in a monastery. We're living in active places, separated. Nobody's actually doing it, so it takes a lot. So you've got to basically come to the place saying, if I don't do this, there's going to be a lot of consequences. I would say very simply that without silence and solitude, your relationship with Jesus is going to be very limited. As Henry Nouwen said years ago, that without silence and solitude, it's virtually impossible to grow in spiritual life. I didn't expound on why, but the reason is because without that, our relationship with God becomes transactional. You know, I pray and asking a lot of petitions to God, I got requests, but I'm not really listening. I'm not being with Him. I end up, an image of God in my mind becomes created that's almost distorted, and again, like I said, transactional. Silence and stillness shifts things powerfully. Your focus now is communion of being with Him. I like to call this intercessory prayer, this confessional prayer, this worship, this spiritual warfare, but silence and stillness is being prayer. It's being with Jesus. And so I've read a couple of daily office books, Emotionally, Spirituality, and Relationships Day by Day, and I encourage people to start with 2 minutes. Set your alarm into just 2 minutes. But it's just meant to get people started. Once you get into silence and stillness and really this two-way relationship with God, and you taste it, you will not be able to live without it. You cannot go back, because a part of you comes alive. You were created for silence and stillness. So I want to encourage you, what I do is every morning. Now for me at this point, I'll spend 20 to 30 minutes in the morning, minimally. I might be in the middle of scripture or reading devotional. But I'm going to have a 20 to 30 minute time. I'm going to be still before the Lord. I'll set my alarm before Him. And I'll have a little silence in the day and evening, but I don't set any kind of alarm. But I'm doing silence actually at different portions of the day at this point. Silence is the background of all of life. It's being present to it. You realize there's always silence, but it's behind the noise. I mean, when God created the universe, it was silent. And the Lord spoke and created the galaxies and the world. So silence is not the foreground, it's the background. And we're being present to it. Because God has given the gift of silence. So I've been silent in Times Square amidst a great noise. So you want to begin to exercise those muscles. And again, I encourage you to use your clock, your time on your phone perhaps. But begin to exercise those muscles, and you're going to find it's like running around a track. All of a sudden it's going to get easier and easier. It's going to become a part of you. And you'll say, how did I ever live without this?
There's a challenge in there, isn't there? To build muscles that maybe we haven't exercised much before. To start and commit to a start. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour on a walk. Who knows? what might be possible. I love the idea there of being prayer. Just pray, just being with God, which is prayer is all about, isn't it, really? We're spending time talking to God, just being prayer. John 15, verse 7 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." We are really blessed that we can have real, genuine, deep relationship with God. But like any other relationship, it won't flourish unless we give it our time and attention and focus. Imagine a marriage in which you spend no time alone together. Imagine the success of a courtship where you never stop to listen to what is on the heart and mind of the other person. Imagine a friendship when you never return their texts or their messages, and you never pick up the phone when they ring, and you never ring them to find out how their life is going. One-to-one, eye-to-eye, loving heart to loving heart relationship, this is how deep relationship grows and flourishes. There is no other way. There is no shortcut. So this morning I wanted to say to you and to me, whenever I prepare something to say, God is always about to tap me on the head with something, goodness me. Don't miss out on a deeper relationship with Jesus, who already loves you and is longing for you to come and spend one-to-one, eye-to-eye, heart-to-heart time with him. In my house group earlier this year, we did a set of studies which were on Psalm 23. And we were invited towards the end of that to have our own go at writing our interpretation of Psalm 23. So I had a go, and this is called a sheep's eye view. Oh Lord Jesus, you truly are my good shepherd, protector, defender, leader and rescuer, and guide to the way home. But that means that I am a sheep, prone to wandering off, rarely looking up, seeing only as far as the end of my nose, easily distracted, often afraid. You sit me down in pleasant places and you offer me pasture. You give me all that I could ever want. But the sheepish me keeps looking for things that are not good for me, rather than feasting on the blessings you provide. When I am overwhelmed and really struggling to focus, you take me by the hands to a quiet place. You remind me to breathe in your Holy Spirit. You give me your peace. I, the sheep, find it hard to settle and start thinking about what comes next. When I am panicked, rushing about from place to place and banging into things, you heal me, body and soul. I am a sheep. I am scared, frightened, and afraid. And sometimes it is very dark. But you come and you remind me that this place is not my home, and you lead me towards the sunshine. You give me direction. You take authority. You stand between me and shame and guilt, and you say, "You have no hold. You shall not pass." When I am climbing the mountain and others try to pull me down, when I am fighting the battle and I have used up all my strength, you give me your armour and you feed me good things. I may only be a sheep, but I am ready to go. Like a sheep on the first day of summer, I lift my head and your love floods over me. I follow along, sometimes as close as I can be, and sometimes wandering away at the risk of falling off the cliff. But I am never beyond the boundaries of your protection. In my own small, sheepish way, I will serve you for each and every day of my life, Lord Jesus. I know the day will come when you will come to collect me, and I will go home to my master's house and look upon your beauty and glory forever. And one small sheep says Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, please forgive us when we think of these disciplines as duty. When we're like huffing, saying, okay, Lord, I'll try and make time, but you know what my life is like. Lord, forgive us when we see the tremendous blessing of sitting at your feet as a task to be done. One more thing on an endless to-do list. Because, Lord, you are beautiful. You are worthy and wonderful. And whether our hearts feel hot or cold or just lukewarm, we love you and we want to love you more. Lord, help us find space to be alone with you. Help us long for it, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all we've learned this month as we've looked at solitude together. And we ask, Lord, that none of us will miss out on those opportunities to just be one-to-one, eye-to-eye, loving heart to loving heart with you. Amen.